A lot to talk about in the tech world. Eric Semmel, Tab Computers, Computer Talk, 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I was talking, Eric, I'm in the market for a new car, and I don't really understand. Explain this hack that happened that affected car dealerships before we get into, like, you know, what ended up happening. Like, what is it?
Yeah, so basically car dealerships were convinced by a company called CDK, which has car dealership software, to, instead of keeping the car dealership software on their premises, right, on their own servers, within their own four walls, like they have been doing for decades, they convinced them to go ahead and put it in CDK's cloudy servers. And the hacker said, I could go after 15,000 dealerships one at a time, or I could go after all 15,000 at once by hitting the cloud. And that's what happened. The cloud dealership software servers were ransomed, and now if you happen to use CDK in that way, you can't sell a car very well.
So is this one of the downsides of cloud computing, that this makes, if you're part of a network and stuff like that, you're more vulnerable, per se?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the major downside of the cloud. Basically, you're convinced to pay a high monthly premium to take all your worries of IT out of your concern. You go run your car dealership. Don't worry, CDK will keep all your software safe. Just pay us monthly for that service, and everything will be fine. And it's true folly, and I've been talking about it for years, and there's been example after example going back decades of why this type of approach might not be the best idea if you'd like to be someone who's in control. And most small to mid-sized businesses, like car dealerships, would prefer to be able to sell cars and not deal with their cloud software being down like this. So it's a huge flaw in the cloud. And for some reason, people thought, hey, I'll leave it to the quote-unquote experts. Well, right. Unfortunately, we know how the sausage is made as IT, and you're just leaving it to some other ding-dongs to manage your servers, and this is what you get.
And they got paid, right? I mean, the hack worked.
I think that, from what we're reading, I've heard stories between $20 million and $80 million, but that doesn't mean your car dealership is back up in action. Sadly, when you pay the ransom, see, the ransomware attackers tend to not be the best IT people, and so now you pay for you pay the ransom, you're hoping for a decryption key that will decrypt the server so that you can operate. But the decrypting of the system takes a long time because they haven't written a really advanced decryption program. They just wrote some, crappy program that will take whatever time it takes to bring the systems back online. So you could be down, this could be going on for another week or so, depending on how long it takes to decrypt the server. So you paid the ransom, thanks to cryptocurrency, the bad guys are, doing whatever they're doing with their fake money, and you're still not able to sell cars.
Interesting.
It's crazy. Crazy.
I mean, it's just so beyond me. All this stuff, and every week you give these examples that are just incredible, and I feel like the average person's just sitting there, filling out online form after online form just to get, I'm even with the cars. I mean, like, you just put your name and your information in, and we'll give you what our price is, and you do that all over the place, and everything's just hanging out there for everybody to grab anytime they want. I mean, it's kind of frightening. Eric Semmel, yeah. Tab Computers. Again, Computer Talk, great show. The guy does amazing stuff with his model, too, by the way, because I love the ad-free hours. Incredible. You can take more calls. I mean, it's just, you have a great sponsor for that. It's 9 to 11 on Saturday. Also, what's going on with Google, child privacy, and court?
Yeah, so Google tried to kill a child privacy advertising lawsuit. Basically, Google has been told, hey, you really can't be advertising to 13-year-olds and under in, I think, the state of California, I think is where it was. And they're getting around it by having the app manufacturer say that the apps were for all audiences so that they didn't have to specifically exclude 13-year-olds from the information. So Google is trying to, again, weasel out of this approach here, and the judge said, no, you're going to have to go ahead and we're going to go to trial with this. And we had a great guest on this last Saturday from Bark US talking about, protecting children from the internet and the whole thing with, the labels on social media. And again, this is Google it's a monstrous company who's fighting to be able to, you know, advertise to 13-year-olds. And, you know, they first started out as Do No Evil or something like that. That was their motto, and that's long gone out the window. So, again, it's all a matter of semantics. If you set your app for all ages, you know, it's not necessarily G-rated.
Well, you know, I'm
but
curious,
even if it's not G-rated.
This brings to my attention the, you know, this whole issue of, you know, because it's become political, right? You know, they're trying to legislate restrictions on social media for kids and all this other stuff.
Right.
And obviously, these companies, they may not make money. Like, we're not, like, a 13, 14-year-old kids aren't consumers like you and me are because they don't have enough money. But they are hugely important because they're future spenders and they tell mom and dad to buy stuff for them. So, you know, I don't think it's in the best interest of Meta and Google and Apple or whomever to Snapchat and whoever's involved to have restrictions on kids accessing certain content. So what do you think the ultimate end games? This is a big question, but I'm really curious about your answer. And where's it going to go? And also, but like, how you can't enforce this stuff, even like stupid, like pornographic sites. They ask if you're 18, you say you're 18. I mean, like that's not really that's not a firewall.
No, it's not. So you can enforce this stuff. I mean, that's the thing that people, assume all the time. It's more enforceable than when we were kids. You know, basically you should be able to, you could have AI go out and take a look at what's out there on the internet and say, well, that's some nasty stuff. We shouldn't let 13-year-olds look at that. And then you could, by MAC address, block access to the content. You know, you can be a parent. There are tools out there to allow you to block it. That Bark USA technology that I brought up on our show last Saturday allows you to prevent your kid from accessing this. And you can actually get a special phone to keep them off. So if we chose to do it, Brian, we could do it as a society. But for some reason, and this is the issue with all IT, everyone throws up their hands and just say, I don't get it and I don't understand it, which is fine. It's complicated, right? But I can't change my oil. That doesn't mean I don't know where to get my oil changed. So, you know, basically we can fix this if we choose to. And the problem is our legislators are clueless when it comes to technology. You know, net neutrality is saying you can't manage a network. Well, the whole concept of a network is the point that you're supposed to manage it. So by putting in things like net neutrality and saying, oh, we don't want anybody to throttle stuff, I do want people to throttle nasty pornography to 13-year-olds. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, a lot of it is just, I just feel like, I don't know. I watch my kids and I don't know how to police it myself. So I almost need someone to help me save me from myself. You know what I mean? Cause the kids are just, it's relentless and I'm not a big fan of like government involvement and stuff. So like I'm at an impasse personally with how to deal with this. Cause I do think that people need help with this. Right. So who would use Russian antivirus software anyway? Like,
oh my gosh! Yeah,
why would we even have to be warned about this?
We have been talking about this, believe it or not, for probably 8 or 9 years. It's mind-boggling. We used to joke about Czech Republic's antivirus too. I mean, the whole key is here. Kaspersky is a Russian software. We shouldn't be using it. Thankfully, just now, the administration is after they've already said that government agencies can't use Kaspersky. A few years ago, they're saying, well, you know what? All of U.S. can't use Kaspersky as of the 20th of I think July. So. It seems ridiculous, but this is the whole point. If you don't understand this about what's going on, that's the whole point about the content we just talked about. Our government is so far behind that they just now banned Russian antivirus. That's where we are, Brian.
Great. That makes me feel so good about our world. Thank you, Eric, and our weekly sobriety check when it comes to technology. Listen, you can listen to and watch Eric. It's Computer Talk, 9 to 11 on Saturdays. Of course, Eric Semmel from Tap Computers. Have a great week, buddy. Thank you.
You too, Brian. Anytime.